You can stay where you are too, that's fine. So as many of you know, I just recently got back from a mission trip to Thailand. And I went with a team. We were working, there was about 16 of us. We were delivering wheelchairs to people who need them. And I'd say overall it was a great success. The entire team delivered about 350 wheelchairs. And we all worked in smaller teams of three. We had a couple of those teams. And we had a physical therapist or an occupational therapist. I don't know what the difference is, don't ask me. And then we had a mechanic and a support person. So we'd, you know, measure the person, fit them, make sure, you know, that if they're sitting upright, that, you know, they need to be, or if they need to be laying back, that, you know, we got a chair that could do that. If they needed cushions, we'd do that, you know, make the footrests, all that, so everything fit, you know, the people as they needed it. And yeah, so altogether we did 350, and then my team of three people, we fit about 52 wheelchairs. And then overall, we probably gave out about another 30 walkers or other, you know, similar things to people that didn't quite need chairs but still needed some sort of assistance with mobility. And for all of those people, after we got them seated and, you know, fitted into a chair, we gave them a Bible in Thai so they can actually read it. Or the people that were visually impaired, we gave them an audio CD of the Bible in Thai. That way they can listen to it, and then we told them, you know, the story of Jesus. And out of all of those people we had, there were a few believers, but an overwhelming majority of them were Buddhists, which is the dominant religion in Thailand. And out of those Buddhists, we actually did have one who accepted Jesus and converted. And for that, praise God. Now, unfortunately, I didn't get to meet her. She was seated by one of the other teams, and I actually didn't even know about that until, I think it was 2 days later. I heard, you know, people talking about it and heard the story there. But thinking about that lady, who do you think caused her to turn to Jesus? I'll give you a hint. It wasn't all us. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter and see if we can find the answer there. I'll be starting from verse 5. Give you all a minute. What is Apollos really? Or what is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, and each of us in the ministry the Lord gave us. I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused it to grow. So neither the one who plants counts for anything, nor the one who waters, but God causes the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters work as one, but each will receive his reward according to his work. We are co-workers belonging to God. You are God's field, God's building. Just like Paul said, it was God who made the seeds grow within that woman's heart. I'd like to look at another related passage, John in the 4th chapter, starting in verse 35. Don't you have a saying, there are four more months and then comes the harvest? I tell you, look up and see that the fields are already white for harvest. The one who reaps receives pay and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that the one who sows and the one who reaps can rejoice together. For in this instance the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you did not work for. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. From these two verses, so from these two verses, we can gather that my team that went there, we were the reapers in this woman's story. But there were those who came before us, who planted the seeds for her. And there were others who watered the seeds, who helped to nurture her her knowledge and love of Jesus. And at the same time, we were planting seeds in many other hearts, and we were watering the seeds that had already been there for others. One thing they had taught us in the orientation, for the Thailand trip, is that in the Thai culture, a lot of people, you know, it's a very, very polite culture. Everyone will, you know, will sit and listen to you when you're talking to them, but they won't really take your message to heart, usually. And it kind of makes sense. I mean, we're just strangers who show up with a couple chairs, give them away, and then we're gone. They don't really know us. And so in the Thai culture, in order to really speak into someone's life in a meaningful way, you have to have a relationship with them. Now, luckily, we've got a good relationship with the people of the Thai First Church, who will be following up with most of those people. They're going to go see them, and they'll be watering the seeds that we planted there, and hopefully they'll be the ones that can harvest the work which we started there. Now, that relationship thing isn't exclusive to Thailand. I didn't think much about it, but this past weekend, while I was at the Young Adult Advance, on Saturday we had an hour of silence where we read through 1 Thessalonians, and we were supposed to study and meditate on what we read, and Joe gave us a list of questions to think over, and sorry, Joe, but I went a little off topic from those. As I was reading through, there were a few things that really stood out to me because of my time in Thailand and some other things that have happened in my life recently. One of those first things that stood out to me is that Paul wasn't giving them a giant list of corrections like he gives many other churches. In fact, he spent more time pointing out the things they were doing right than the things they needed to fix. And another thing that really stood out to me that I wanted to share with you guys is that Paul obviously developed a relationship with these people while he was with them. So I'm going to read the second chapter starting in verse 17. That's 1 Thessalonians 2, 17. But when we were separated from you, brothers and sisters, for a short time, in presence, not in affection, we became all the more fervent in our great desire to see you in person. For we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, tried in fact again and again, but Satan thwarted us. For who is our hope or joy or crown to boast of before our Lord at his time of his coming? Is it not, of course, you? For you are our glory and joy. To me, it sounds an awful lot like Paul had a pretty good relationship with them. After only being apart for a short time, he couldn't wait to get back and see them again. And I seriously doubt it's a coincidence that the church that Paul developed that sort of a relationship with is the same church he writes this following passage to. Now on the topic of brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you are practicing it towards all the brothers and sisters in all of Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. So going back a bit to the lady I mentioned in Thailand who converted, I later heard that it was one of her close friends that first told her about Jesus about 4 or 5 years prior to us even showing up. That's someone that she already had a close relationship with. Now I want to urge all of you, brothers and sisters, to take a minute and think about those people you have a close relationship with who aren't already believers. It can be your friends from work or school, maybe family members, or possibly even your favorite waitress at that restaurant you go to every week. Now, I don't know if you're going to be the one to plant the first seed, or if you're going to be watering seeds that have already been planted, or maybe even you're going to be the one to guide them to the Lord and reap their harvest. But those relationships you have are the key. In the same way, seek out new relationships so that in the future you have more ground to plant seeds for God's garden. And if there's anybody who would like to seek the prayers of the congregation or turn their life over to God, I'd like you to ask to come forward while we all stand and sing.